Good morning, and welcome to New Hope Assembly of God's very first online church service. These are some just unbelievable times that we're living in, but we are so blessed to have resources available such as this to be able to stay connected while we are somewhat living in isolation. So I just want to thank you, first of all, for joining us, and I'm just so blessed to be here, thankful that you're joining us, and looking forward to what God's going to do in and through the service today. And so this morning we're going to be continuing our new message series entitled Took On, where we're kind of journeying along with Jesus up to the cross and, of course, right on through it to the resurrection. And we're learning all those things that Jesus took on himself so that we can be free of them. Because life can be tough. I mean, sincerely tough. And we're certainly, seeing that in the days that we're living in, experiencing things that we never thought we would see in our lifetimes, perhaps. Our lives are being radically changed day by day by the efforts to prevent the spread of the coronavirus. And every day we're being burdened in one way or another in ways that we hadn't thought possible before. And some are very significant. For example, some of y'all have been laid off. Your jobs are uncertain. You have no idea when you might return or how your family is going to survive. Not only not having income immediately, but even on unemployment, the partial income that's going to be. Things like basic household supplies, cleaning supplies, and toilet paper of all things. Who would have ever thought that it would have been difficult to find supplies like that? Kids being home from school. Megan was trying to perfect the national anthem, and so that took most of the day. And so, yeah, we all have burdens, we all have challenges that we're dealing with. But in the middle of it all, we are just blessed beyond imagine. In reality, beyond these burdens that we're facing in light of the coronavirus and the attempt to limit the spread of that, beyond those physical burdens that we're facing and some of those challenges that we have, the emotional burdens are tremendous. And in fact, those are the things that worry me personally, perhaps more than the virus itself. I kind of see in our area more people are gripped by fear and anxiety and worry than any are affected by the coronavirus itself. So we have sort of this dynamic in play here. We know that Jesus took on our burdens. He took those on himself so that we can be free from them. And yet day by day, it seems that life just throws more burdens onto us. And so we have this dynamic in play. And so this morning, we're going to kind of take a look at that challenge of how to walk in that freedom, how to maintain that freedom that Jesus paid for so that he can take on all those cares, worries, and anxieties on himself. And so throughout this message series, we're looking back to the prophetic word that Jesus fulfilled, found in Isaiah chapter 53. Here we find a list of different unique burdens that Jesus took on himself for our freedom so that we don't have to carry them. And I'm reading this morning from the New Century Version in Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4-6. And it says, but he, and that's prophetically speaking of Jesus, but he took our suffering on him. He felt our pain for us. We saw his suffering and we thought God was punishing him, but he was wounded for the wrong that we did. He was crushed for the evil that we did. The punishment, which makes us well, was given completely to him. And we are healed because of his wounds. We all have wandered away like sheep. Each one of us, we've each gone our own way. But the Lord has put on the punishment to him for all the evil that we've done. And so today we're going to look at two things that heavily weigh us down with all that's happening in the world especially. And those two things that we're looking at are pain and suffering. These two weighty, burdensome words that Isaiah used here in this prophecy carry the meaning of pain, anguish, grief, or sorrow. And those come from the Hebrew word mekuveh. And also sickness and anxiety, calamity and grief coming from the Hebrew word kole. Last week, we learned about the healing that God provides, the healing that Jesus provides by taking on himself our physical sickness and disease. We learned that awesome truth that most of us have memorized and quote all the time, that by his wounds, by his stripes, we are healed. This week, as we move away from sickness and disease in the physical realm, we're beginning to focus from the physical to the mental, focusing on those inward burdens that we carry, those things that we carry in our hearts and in our minds that heavily weigh us down in life. Though they're unseen, they often have a far greater impact on our lives than we'd really care to admit. Pain and suffering within our hearts and minds can weigh us down in ways that sometimes even go unnoticed by those around us. A lot of us are good at putting that mask on and acting like everything's all right when inwardly we are carrying some heavy, heavy things. When someone's going around, think about this, and they're using crutches or they've got a sling and cast on their arm, the source of their pain and suffering is obvious. In fact, others, they usually see it and they're compassionate toward those people and they're willing to step up and to find ways to serve them. You might hold the door open for somebody or carry their bags for them, from the store, or perhaps even prepare meals for them and help them out in that way. To those who push through every single day, going through their normal routines, but inwardly are inflicted by this pain and suffering, other people don't always have an easy time understanding them. Usually they lack understanding toward them, and compassion usually is not there. In fact, when people are suffering in this way, carrying those burdens, mentally, they're often scoffed at and kind of made fun of, but to those who are carrying those burdens of pain and suffering inwardly, that pain is just as real as it would be had it been a broken bone or some other physical ailment. And even when others know and trust that they are suffering in those ways, we just don't know what to do to help them. We often offer shallow advice like, it'll get better, or just cheer up, it's going to be all right. You're going to be okay. And in reality, it really doesn't serve their needs or help alleviate that pain and suffering. And I found it interesting as I started to pray about this and study this, that God's word never encourages us to cast our bruised eyes, our broken bones, or like our clogged arteries on Jesus. Never are we called to do those things. And in reality, it's easy for us to cry out to God for healing when we have those physical ailments. However, we are called in the scriptures from cover to cover of God's word to trust him. We're called to cast all of our cares, worries, fears, anxieties, sorrows, griefs, troubles, you name it, on him. Whatever the reason, it seems like it's a more difficult thing for us to do. We have an easy time going to Jesus for our physical pain and suffering, for our physical sickness and disease. But when we're suffering and we're experiencing pain inwardly, sometimes we have a tendency to ignore it or to negate it, as if though it's something that's not affecting us. And so I think that beyond admitting it ourselves that we're suffering in those ways, we also have a harder time admitting it to Jesus, although he's well aware of our suffering. And in fact, Isaiah 53 starts out reminding us that Jesus was a man familiar with suffering, that he was like one that people turned their faces away from, when they saw him. He's familiar with that kind of inward suffering, and he took that on himself so that we don't have to. Because in reality, the reason that God's word from cover to cover calls us to cast those things on him is because those inward things that we deal with eventually reveal themselves externally. And in reality, every external choice that we make, every word that we speak, every action that we take, it begins inwardly in our hearts and minds. And that's why God's word calls us so often to do those things. Because our outward words and actions, you can think of them sort of like fruits of what we've allowed to be planted in our hearts and minds and grown there. When our mental health is lacking, our physical health and our lifestyle suffers tremendously. In fact, in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, we're reminded that above all else, to guard your heart, because everything you do flows from that. Our hearts are like this internal source that everything of life flows from. And so when we're not healthy inwardly, it manifests itself outwardly as well. Our lives literally flow from the inside out. So when our hearts and minds are healthy, our lives are generously producing the fruits of the Spirit. I mean, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. They just flow from our lives when we're healthy inwardly. But when our hearts and minds are weighed down by burdens, our lives begin to produce the fruits of the flesh. I mean, look at the world around us, how selfish people are becoming. And some of the fruits of the flesh result from that. Fights and arguments and, you know, all of us, if we're honest with ourselves, when we're burdened by something emotionally or mentally, when our mental health is not what it ought to be, we're pretty snippy with people. We're short-tempered. I mean, all those fruits of the flesh start to reveal themselves. And obviously, that's not God's plan for us. That's not how He has called us to live. That is why God has called us, not only to guard our hearts, but that's also why He took on Himself that inward pain and suffering. And so we're going to start looking at how to practically do this. And thankfully, as in all things, God's Word has the answer and the solution. And although there's many, many scriptures, especially in the Psalms, where David was honest about how he was feeling, how he was struggling and angry and all these things, but yet he would trust in the Lord, yet he would look to Him for his salvation. We're going to turn today to the Word of God in 1 Peter chapter 5. And it's a very common verse when we start to think about this issue. But this morning we're going to read from the Amplified translation of the Bible, along with the verses surrounding it to get some, you know, proper context and application. Now, sort of a preface, this is in the context, it's being written to the elders and the overseers of the church. However, the wisdom that it contains and the practical application, they apply to all of us. And so I'm going to read here from the Amplified Version, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 to 10. And it says, "Therefore humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and set aside self-righteous pride so that He might exalt you to a place of honor in His service at the appropriate time, casting all of your cares, all of your anxieties, all of your worries, and all of your concerns once and for all on Him. For He cares for you with the deepest affection, and He watches over your life very carefully. Be sober, well-balanced, and self-disciplined. Be alert and be cautious at all times. That enemy of yours, the devil, he prowls around like a roaring, fierce, hungry lion. But resist him, because he's looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Be firm in your faith against his attack. Be rooted, established, and immovable, because you know that the same experiences you are having, your brothers and sisters in Christ are experiencing throughout the world. You do not suffer alone. And after you've suffered for a little while," this is the good part, "the God of all grace, who imparts his blessing and favor, who called you to his own eternal glory in Christ, will himself complete, confirm, establish, strengthen you so that you might be all that you ought to be." Now, there's a lot of other scriptures. I just love the way that this scripture, especially in the Amplified Version, approaches this subject of internal pain and suffering, of mental health. And so we're going to take a look at the wisdom found here and learn how to apply it to our lives. Because we have to ask, you know, with life every day placing new burdens on us, weighing us down emotionally, how do we allow Jesus to take on our pain and suffering? Now, the first thing, number one, that the Word of God calls us to do in verse 6 is to humble yourself. Now, if you were to ask me a list of practical advice of how to overcome, you know, mental illness and how to defeat some of the emotional turmoil that we're all experiencing in this season, probably the last bit of advice that I'd ever think of would be to tell somebody to stop being so selfish, to put away your pride, and to just really humble yourself, you know, before the Lord. In fact, it almost sounds cruel to accuse someone dealing with this burden of being selfish or prideful in it some way. However, that's exactly what the Word of God calls us to do first and foremost. So therefore, I have to ask, why would God say that? It just sounds so cruel to tell someone to humble themselves and not to be prideful and self-righteous. Often, when you really stop and think about this issue, the true reason for our pain and suffering in our lives is our self-focus, our self-emphasis. Poor mental health sometimes actually stems from an I problem, you know, in quotes, I. Because if I sit here and think about all the issues that I am dealing with, if I sit here and think about all the hurts that I have endured, if I turn on the news and I listen to all the worst case scenarios that are happening out there, and I think about how that's going to affect me potentially, I quickly, as all of us do, find myself depressed, isolated, worried, fearful. I mean, the worst emotions, you know, grip us and overwhelm us. I love the way that this is a quote coming from Corrie ten Boom. And he said, if you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. But if you look at God, you'll be at rest. And I just love the way that that is phrased. If you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. But if you look at God, you'll be at rest. And so our focus, while we go through these challenging circumstances of life, sometimes make all the difference, our perspective toward them. Now, as a preface, when we're told to humble ourselves by God, that doesn't mean thinking less of ourselves. It just means that we think of ourselves less. It doesn't mean that we put ourselves down, that we're just horrible, awful people. That's not at all what humility is. In fact, humility is exactly the opposite. It's having confidence in who you are and who God created you to be. Humbling ourselves, it's not thinking less of ourselves. It's just thinking of ourselves less. It's about thinking of the needs of others more often and more frequently and focusing not only on God himself and keeping our eyes fixed on Christ, but also looking to the needs of others and how we can serve them. An awesome example of this, you know, many of you in our church are familiar with this awesome woman of God, Lydia Traynor. She's home with the Lord, rejoicing with him. But for the days that I knew her, she had lost her home and had to be in a nursing home due to declining health. Her kidneys were failing. She had to go through dialysis like three times a week and several other health complications that come from that. And she had done this for years and years. But every time that I'd go to the nursing home to visit her, she wouldn't share her burdens or cares, even though I'd ask her how she's doing and I'd ask her how her week went. She didn't want to focus on those things. Instead, she would be like, Pastor, how can I pray for you? What's going on in the church? Do you have any new people? Or how's this person and this person and this person doing? And she knew intimately what they were dealing with and what they were struggling with. She wanted to, even in her limited capacity, be praying and interceding and seeing God do the miraculous. In fact, even while she was in the nursing home, she would have the nurses come over and put her in her wheelchair, and she would kind of scoot up and down the hallways of the nursing home, laying hands on the doors and praying for them and sharing the good news of the gospel with all of those people. And I mean, man, she put me to shame in her ministry to others. That is a picture of humility, thinking less of ourselves and thinking more of others. That's humility. In fact, humility, when we're called to humble ourselves in verse 6, it says to humble ourselves and to place ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Now think about that. God's hand, it's not a heavy hand of discipline and wrath and whatnot. God's hand is a hand of healing and protection and peace. When we position our lives under God's hand, he can pick us up and exalt us in honor at just the right time. Humbling ourselves is just a matter of that, positioning ourselves under God's covering, because that's the best place we can be, the safest place we can be, the place where we can find peace and rest, no matter what's happening around us, is when we position ourselves humbly under God's mighty hand. Now, the next thing that we're called to do in verse 7 is to cast all those things on Jesus. To cast our worries and cares and anxieties and fears and all those things, to literally cast them on him. Not long ago at our service, we did this in a physical way. We literally wrote down those things that burden us and weigh us down, and we shredded them so that they can never come back. Because most of us know how to pray. We know how to ask Jesus how to take care of those things that are distressing us emotionally. We cast them on Him. However, very few of us know how to leave those things in the hands of Jesus. Usually we ask Jesus to take care of our situation. We say amen. And a few seconds later, we're already thinking about them again. We're already worried about them. We're already gripped and overwhelmed by anxiety and fear of all the what ifs that could happen in that situation. We cast those things on Jesus, and then we sneak in and steal them right out of the hands of God. I mean, you gotta be pretty bold to do that, right? To go thieving from God. You gave Him your burdens, and then you stole them back. Now, we're called to cast those things on Jesus. Why? The scriptures here in verse 7 say, because He cares about you. We were not created by God to be able to carry those burdens inwardly, those pains and sufferings. That's why they have such a physical toll on us. Why they destroy, they still kill and destroy our lives. We were not created for them. That's why Jesus takes them on Himself and takes them away from us. So let's just let Him do so. I mean, I was struggling, you know, most of this week of how to communicate this and how to practically do it. But in reality, it's just leaving those in the hands of Jesus. When you start getting reminded of the circumstances or the relationship or whatever it is that causes you that stress and anxiety and worry and care, just remind yourself, you know what? I gave that to Jesus. That's not mine anymore. He's got it. He's just a great manager. It's in His hands, and He's going to take care of it. I don't have to carry it anymore. And just keep passing that along to Him, but to leave those in His hands so that we can be free. He paid a high, high price to carry that burden for us, to take on our pain and suffering. So let's let them let Jesus have those things. Next, in verses 8 through 9, we're called to be sober. Called to be sober. We're called to be alert. We're called to be cautious at all times. And if you've turned on your TV at all, if you've watched the news at all, if you've been alive by any means and been in contact with anybody, you know the precautions that we're being called to take. In fact, that's why we're doing this online right here and right now instead of worshiping in person. We're being cautious. We're being alert. We're doing our part to allow God to do His. And it reminds us here in these scriptures that we have an enemy who is always on the prowl, looking to devour us. Now, that can cause stress and fear and anxiety and all those things in our lives. And so right away, within that same verse, God is so good to remind us that the one who is in us, the Holy Spirit, is far greater than this enemy out in the world. We're not called to walk in fear. We don't have to fear our enemy because God is greater and He is with us and for us. And if we humbly place ourselves under His hand, then He's got you. You're taken care of. In fact, we're given the Holy Spirit, not a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, a spirit of sound mind, so that we don't have to have our mind worried about all these things. However, we still need to be well-balanced. We need to be self-disciplined. Some pain and suffering is no fault of our own. The actions of others have inflicted that within ourselves. Or perhaps even just circumstances like this virus has caused you to lose your job and you never would have lost it otherwise. It's external, out of your control. However, I would say more often than not, this internal pain and suffering that distresses us was self-inflicted. We made a foolish decision. We spent money we didn't have. We chose to take on a responsibility that we should have said no to. They're self-inflicted pains and sufferings that are causing us stress and worry and care and anxiety and all those things. Let's do our part. Let's not give in to the temptation of our enemy out there who wants to devour us. And the enemy doesn't always want to devour us by obvious evil things. A lot of times the enemy likes to devour us by keeping us busy with good things, saying yes to good things, but not the good things that God has called us to. And so we get weighed down by those burdens and those anxieties. When it comes to the temptation of the enemy, just resist him. Resist him and he will flee. So we don't have to really fight and battle. We just resist him and stand firmly in the word of God, trusting Him under His mighty right hand. We're called to remain well-balanced. We're called to live out sound, godly wisdom, but also having faith that there's nothing too hard for our God. And dealing with this virus, that's exactly what we're doing. We're using sound judgment and wisdom to do our part, to practice social isolation, social distancing, you know, this new term that has come from all of this. As I preached last week, right, we're not going out there and eating that chicken nugget, you know, that fell on McDonald's floor. We're not licking Walmart's cart handle. We're doing our part. We're using sound judgment and wisdom, but we're trusting that God is our protector and ultimately our healer, that our lives are ultimately in his hands. And there is no pain that he can't relieve. There's no suffering that he can't resolve in our lives. He is just greater than anything that can come our way, even if it's self-inflicted. He's just good enough to resolve those things. So we do our best, and we trust God with the rest. It's an awesome cliche. Because Jesus is our protector, but he's also our healer when we find ourselves carrying the weight of pain and suffering. Jesus is waiting with an outstretched hand to take those things on himself and off of us. Jesus can be our peace in the middle of our hearts and minds becoming overwhelmed by those worries, anxieties, concerns. He gives us a peace that transcends all human understanding and reasoning. So we remain sober and we trust in him. In verse 9, we are reminded that we're not alone, that we have an enemy determined to destroy us. There are more who are with us and for us than who are against us. Though our hearts and minds may tell us that we're alone, though the enemy may whisper that lie in your mind that you're just alone in this. No one can understand what you're dealing with. No one's ever been there and gone through that. You know, that you're on your own on this one. It's so, so much a lie. It's not true. Your brothers and sisters in Christ, they've been there. They've dealt with that. They can tell you how not to handle it. And there's a lot of people out there who've overcome it. And they can give you that same freedom and teach you how they practically maintain the freedom of Jesus. We all face and deal with the same temptations and struggles. You're not alone out there in the world. And God's word promises, of course, that he will never leave us, never forsake us. He's with us and he's for us, not against us, always. Suffering may last for a moment in our lives, but just like these scriptures, we're not going to camp out there long. We're not going to focus on that. Our focus is going to shift to verse 10 that reminds us that God is at work. It says that after you've suffered for a little while, God will bring it to an end. Through the pain and suffering that he permitted you to go through, it may endure for a little while, but God will use it. God will strengthen you. He will confirm you. He will complete you. He will make you everything that you ought to be through those experiences. He will work all things together for good as long as we keep our love on toward him and toward others. God, he will use it for our good and for his glory. God's grace is at work in your life, even in the middle of your pain and suffering. Because your pain and suffering, it's not your final destination. It is not your destiny in Christ. God is using what others may have intended for harm to make you who you were meant to be. And we remember that from the life of Joseph, and that's exactly what God told Joseph. After years of one struggle, I mean, literally being thrown from the pit to the prison, Joseph, everything that all those people intended to harm him and to destroy him, God worked it together for good because he humbled himself and he kept himself under the hand of God in every circumstance. I mean, he sprung out of that pit into slavery. He exited slavery, turned that prison into a palace. You know, he was leading over. I mean, that is a picture of what God's calling us to do, to just trust him in every season because he's working it together for good. What was meant to destroy you, God is using to build you. What was meant to bring you shame and embarrassment, God is going to use to bring you honor and glory. And I wish I could tell you that when you place your life in the hands of Jesus, you never have to deal with pain or suffering again, that life is just good from that day forward. However, it's just not true. We still live in this life. We still live in this flesh. We still experience pain and suffering. Even Jesus did, and Jesus never sinned. Jesus, who never sinned, still experienced pain and suffering, and so will we. But we trust God with those things. We cast those things on him and allow him to work it for good in our lives, to grow us, to mature us, to develop our character. But what, so we go through the same things that everyone else in life deals with, but there's something different for us. When we choose to put our faith in Jesus, there is a distinct difference. In Jesus, that pain and suffering, we're told that it lasts for a little while. And now some of you are sitting out there thinking, I've been a Christian, a spirit-filled believer for years and years, but I've suffered for years and years. When I think of experiencing that for a little while, I think Jesus is saying that in light of the eternal freedom from pain and suffering that we will experience, the eternal life that is awaiting us. So these are light and momentary troubles in comparison to the eternity that awaits us. So we kind of keep that in mind. But during this shortened season of pain and suffering, the difference and the distinction is that we're trusting in Jesus and we're allowing him to work it for good, not resisting him or fighting him on it. So he uses it to shape us, to build us, to become better people. There is purpose in the pain that we go through. It's difficult for us to believe, but it's truth that God has a purpose in that pain. And in a little while, Jesus then comes to our rescue. He comes rushing in at just the right moment and takes our pain and suffering on him. He takes those things on himself and he gives us healing and freedom. You know, I think about what you often see in the movies or drama shows of, you know, like a building that's crumbling, you know, and there's this heavy cement pillar on somebody's legs and they just can't get free from it. It's just they want to escape, but they can't. And they're suffering and they're in pain and they're all alone. And then all of a sudden that one person comes in and they lift that up off of them and they pull them out to safety. That's exactly what Jesus does for us inwardly. He comes to the rescue and he delivers us from that pain and suffering. We may experience it, but it is short-lived in comparison to what he is delivering us of. And think of Jesus for an example. Not only the life that he lived, a man well familiar with pain and suffering, even though he knew no sin, he also endured the pain and suffering of the cross. For 3 days, his body lay dead in the grave. However, the pain and suffering served a purpose. He took on himself the punishment of our sin that we deserve. Beyond that, along with the punishment of our sin, he took on our sickness and diseases. He took on our pain and suffering. And we'll learn about other things that he took on himself in that moment. However, his story didn't end there. That was not his destiny. He endured that for a season, for a few days. Then he rose from the grave, and he was given such a place of honor and glory that he has the name above every name. He is glorified eternally forever, never to taste of that pain and suffering and death again. And because Jesus was willing to humble himself under the hand of his heavenly Father, because he was able to cast his worldly anxieties, fears, and worries on the heavenly Father, because he experienced them the same as we do, because he resisted the enemy and soberly trusted that his Father was doing a good work, he's forever glorified, having never to suffer again. And that's your destiny too. That is the way your story is supposed to end. If only we were to cast those things on Jesus. The choice is ours. Will we cast those things on him, or will we continue to burden ourselves and weigh ourselves down by those heavy anxieties, worries, and stresses? Your story can have the same ending as Christ. This morning, I encourage you to allow Jesus to take on your pain and suffering. Let today be the day that the weight of your anxieties and worries and fears and cares and griefs and sorrows, all those things that consume you and overwhelm you and weigh you down internally, be lifted from you, that you would be delivered from them. Let today be the day when all those things that you are consumed by become consumed themselves by the peace of Christ, that your heart and your mind would be renewed by him. Because you're dearly loved by Jesus. He paid a high price to take those things on himself for your freedom. So cast your pain and suffering on him because he cares about you. And I'm going to end here on this scripture. We know it very well. Matthew chapter 6. Jesus said, therefore I tell you, and he's telling you this morning. Just imagine, close your eyes and imagine Jesus speaking to you right now. He's saying, I'm telling you, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about what you're going to eat or drink. Don't worry about your body or what you're going to wear. Life is so much more than food. Life is so much more than clothing. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor store away in barns. Your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they are? Can any of you, think about this, can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Of course not. In fact, we know that worrying steals hours and days and years from your life. Jesus said, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And that's an act of humility under the hand of God, trusting him, seeking him first and foremost in everything. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And then all those things will be given to you as well. Don't worry about tomorrow. And guess what Jesus said? Tomorrow has its own worries. Tomorrow's going to worry about itself because each day has enough trouble of its own. So right now, we're going to pray together. We're going to cast those things because I believe that the Holy Spirit throughout this session has been bringing to mind things that heavily weigh you down. Maybe things that you thought you've overcome, things that you've cast off of yourself in the past, but they keep coming back to mind. Right now, those are bubbling to the surface of your life. The Holy Spirit is bringing them to mind because it's time to cast those things out of our hearts and minds onto Jesus once and for all. Today is a day of our freedom, right here and right now. We're going to seek God's kingdom. We're going to trust that God will take care of everything else. No matter what troubles come our way today and tomorrow, because Jesus said they will come, we're going to continue passing those things on to Jesus, casting those things onto him, because we know that nothing is bigger than our God. Nothing is a surprise to our God, and nothing can stop his great, unfailing love for us. By his stripes, we are healed. By the cross, he took on our pain and suffering. And so let's just pray together right now and allow Jesus to give us freedom from those things. And so Jesus, we thank you so much. First and foremost, for who you are. We thank you for your great, unfailing love for us, for being faithful even when our faith runs dry. Jesus, we thank you for paying the price that through your sacrifice on the cross, you took on my pain and suffering. Jesus, forgive me for worrying. Forgive me for allowing myself to be overcome by stress and worry and anxiety and fears and grief and sorrow. Jesus, right now, I give you permission to come into my life, to reveal those things and to take them all away. Jesus, right here and right now, take on my pain and suffering. Give me your peace. Give me hope. Give me faith. Give me strength. Jesus, I want my life to grow in abundance of the fruits of your Holy Spirit. Forgive me for walking in the flesh and for allowing my flesh to manifest itself toward others. Holy Spirit, I want you alone to move in my life and through my life. Jesus, thank you for those burdens that you are lifting right here and right now. Thank you for your freedom. Thank you for taking on my pain and suffering in your name. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you all so much for bearing with us through the season, for tuning in. This video is going to be available after the service through Facebook, YouTube. I encourage you to share it if it encouraged you in some way. And right now, I want to encourage you to continue to cast those things on Jesus as life places those burdens on you, just to pass them along to him. And if there's any way that we can be a blessing to you, if there's anything that you need in this season or the next, please don't hesitate to reach out. We love you. We're here for you. We want to be a support and an encouragement to you. So if there's anything you need at all, we'll do anything we can to come alongside of you with your walk in Christ until we all reach full unity in Christ. And so God bless you. Have a great week, and we'll catch you again here next week.